Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday edition of the Steve Jones Show as we head for the weekend. News Radio 1070 WKOK and Sean Carey. Steve will be in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our Friday editions always brought to you by Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Corey and the crew have a great deal now till Tuesday. The beer of the week, Coors, and Coors Light 30 packs, $17.97. Stock up. Come on, get a head start compared to what everybody else will be doing this time next week, getting ready for the extra long holiday weekend to crank up summer 2018. So get a leg up on everybody else. Get what you need. All the great brews, snacks, water, soda. Fresh roasted peanuts, and of course, the pickle bar, second to none. We've been telling you that for years. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, Reagan Street in Sunbury. Awesome deal there on Coors and Coors Light. And actually, our station down the hall, 94KX, is going to be at Brewers Outlet for a little bit this afternoon till 5 o'clock. Stop by and see them and hang with us, too. And we're busy here heading into the weekend. Jordan Rodrigue, who at one point a couple years back was the Penn State football beat writer for the Center Daily Times, and she is now the Carolina Panthers beat writer for the Charlotte Observer, a soon-to-be former Pittsburgh Steelers minority owner, is buying the Carolina Panthers. So Jordan will tell us more about that on the show later. We'll also get you primed up for the Preakness tomorrow at Pimlico. Steve's longtime partner on the Penn State Sports Network, Dick Girardi, will also join us. And since it is Friday, you know it, we'll wrap up the weekend at 4:35 with Steve and, of course, his brother, Kevin Jones. KJ will check in from Connecticut. You can always check in with us when you shoot us an email anytime, stevejones@wkok.com, stevejones@wkok.com. Also on social media, like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at stevejonespsu. And we invite you to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. When you do, after the shows air live on WKOK, we drop the shows onto your smartphone and tablet, just like that. You can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And you always have access to 3 months of shows at stevejonesshow.com. So, but if you'd like to subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast, you can on either Google Play, Apple Podcast app, or iTunes. Just search Steve Jones Show. So after a 7-5 win Wednesday in Minnesota in the last game of a 6-game road trip, the St. Louis Cardinals went back home last night, losing to the Phillies 6-2 here on WKOK. The Cards stranded 11, 7 of them in the last 3 innings. And it was the 6th time in 9 games the Cardinals had lost, as well as the 6th time in 9 games they have been held to 2 or fewer runs. And for St. Louis tonight, who you got to get up against? Yep, Jake Arrieta. Phillies 25-16. Arrieta currently with a record of 3-1 with a 2.59 ERA. Now in 17 career starts against the Cardinals, Arrieta has struck out 107 hitters in just under 100 innings. So you got Michael Wacha and Jake Arrieta, your pitchers tonight. Phillies at Cardinals, we will have on deck beginning at 7:40, first pitch 8:15 on your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK. Last night in hockey, Tampa Bay evening up the series with the Washington Capitals, so they are now square 2 games apiece, and they will play at Tampa tomorrow night in a very pivotal Game 5. Tampa getting two goals, one about a little under six left in the contest, and then an empty netter with under 5 seconds to go to cause that Caps crowd to leave quietly last night from the barn. And tonight it'll be Vegas and Winnipeg. And that's an 8 o'clock Eastern start tonight, not 9. Wednesday night was a 9 o'clock start. Tonight will be an 8 o'clock Eastern time puck drop. NBCSN will have that. All the pageantry of the pregame in Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And what's happening now with the Vegas Golden Knights in their inaugural season, pretty incredible. As they're only a few more games away from making it into the Stanley Cup Finals. So we'll see if it's a Vegas Caps Final, Vegas Lightning Final, but still you can't count out Winnipeg for sure. So Meta World Peace, he claims he was offered $35,000 while as a player at St. John's to fix a game. Recently told that to Yahoo Sports. And he played for St. John's back in the late 1990s, and then later went on to an 18-year NBA career. Claimed he was offered $35,000 to throw a St. John's game, and was approached in his neighborhood, but he did not specify the person who attempted to bribe him, but got approached a couple of times to throw games. "We need you to throw a game." He's like, "Come on, it crossed my mind, $35,000 to throw a game, not bad, but you know that's the problem. When you don't have no money, they find these kids that don't have money and attack them." But it's like, well, what if I was that kid and was a little scared? So, interesting that on the week that the American sports landscape changes, or will be changed in the not-too-distant future with legalized betting state by state as time marches on, we hear that about Meta World Peace being offered $35,000 to fix a game. But it is going to be interesting, you know, if we're going to hear more stories about that after most states across the country will legalize gambling. And of course, as we said, it's a state-by-state situation, and the way it's regulated is really going to be the kicker as you go from state to state. And how fast each state gets things up and running for sports betting. It'll be interesting to watch that progress as well. It makes you wonder, as you look down the road 3-5 years, as to how fast each state will have their systems up and running and which betting partners that they'll have agreements with. And as to who gets this percentage of revenue, that percentage of revenue. But you figure the overall goal would be me in a stadium with my smartphone, and it's kind of the scenario that Steve brought up earlier this week. Yeah, I want to see if this second half, while I'm while I'm grabbing another beer and settling in for the second half, let's see if Bell will get 75 yards this half.
Yeah, prop bets. It's interesting. You know, we do this show, and we'll take suggestions from the staff as to, and it's usually on a rotational basis. Roger will say, "Hey, how about something on the Phillies?" Or, "How about having Andy Russell on?" Or Jamie will say, "Hey, I want you to do a Steelers segment." We're like, "Yeah, okay, great." Matt Cotrillo, something on sports gambling. Or Sarah will ask about golf. So this week it was the Suits' turn. All right, so I opened up the envelope. Took out the paper. Here were his suggestions for the week.
Oh, do tell.
Carburation Day. What does it mean to me?
But I'm glad you're bringing it up here on a Friday instead of a Monday, so that's good.
Who will win qualifying at the Indy 500? Roger Penske. Good or bad, right? And then the last one was, why Chutters work.
Right, for now, certain people. He left that part out.
So, We also have veto power on the show. Oh, and will Marco Andretti ever win? Ever. Ever. I think Marco has as many wins as the suit does. Like, holy mackerel. I don't know. I think Sarah, great suggestions. Cotrillo, great suggestions. Yeah. Jamie, great selection. Roger, awesome suggestions. And then we get to that one. What is the thought process there, my man? All right. Dick Girardi is going to join us on the show today. We are going to talk about the Preakness, and it is already a mess down there. There's a big difference weather-wise, believe it or not. Well, you're saying, well, it rained for the Kentucky Derby, too. Yeah, but there's a big difference. I mean, it's been raining a lot all week in Maryland. That makes for a different track. Dick and I are going to talk about that coming up today as well. In fact, we have a lot going on in today's show, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, we got quite a bit early next week lined up already, too. Yeah.
But we have a lot going on in today's show.
We do.
I mean, the king is at the end, of course.
Sure.
Where you and I are guesting on our own show. Explain to me how that happens.
Well, let's see. Who had that idea two summers ago? Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
What idiot came up with that idea? Hold on a second. That may have been moi. Right now, he's taking over the show, and, you know, now he's making demands. Something like that. How about Neil Best from Newsday? We got Neil to talk about sports betting. The Carolina Panthers were sold to the minority owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, David Tepper. Now, the price he ended up paying was about $2.275, something like that. Okay? The dude paid cash. Whew. Cash! Paid cash.
Straight cash, homie.
Other investors needed? Au contraire, mon frere. No investors needed. Wow. He paid cash.
Even Magic Johnson had a group of investors around him to get the Dodgers.
Well, he's worth $11 billion.
Wow.
Right? And they asked him at one point, what was the key for him to getting this far so he could make $11 billion? He said, when somebody asked me to invest in IndyCar, I said no. All right, so we'll come back. What?
Bump
he's
day.
Rolling it.
Bump
he's
day.
Rolling it. He's
getting
rolling
closer.
It.
Yeah, bump day.
Oh, I never saw anybody revel more in bump day. Like, oh, bump day. I mean, and then he, you know what calmed him down about it? I said, imagine if they had bump day in digital media.
Well, he can't stand willpower, as you're well aware.
And yes,
and he won the IndyCar race last week.
Oh, did he?
And
really?
I just stumbled. I wasn't trying to find it on the TV, but last Saturday afternoon I stumbled on the Indy race, and it was under 5 to go, and there was Will Power leading. So, of course, I sent Kevin a text. Holla at your boy, Will Power, all capital letters and about 15 exclamation points. And he was spending at the time, he was not watching the race. Maybe I must have spoiled it for him or something, because he was in the middle of taking photographs with suit light, and his lovely gal as they were getting ready to go to prom.
I have a list of comments here, and I'm not going to make any of them. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Sharing with me during the break.
Aaron, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
All right, welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Neil Best of Newsday and Sports Business Journal joining us in the next half hour. Pennsylvania has put its, you know, it's interesting. Pennsylvania can be up and running with its probably in 60 days, maybe 75 days. But the problem is for Pennsylvania is quite simple. That 36% tax threshold, who came up with that number? I mean, seriously, the number is I mean, I realize this is state run and the entire deal is to have, you know, I mean, how much do we hear about red states and blue states? All the time, right? Except when it comes to this issue, okay? All there are green states. They want money. Everybody wants, I mean, that's what this is about. This is about cash. And that's why you have people crossing aisles and lines and everything like that passing this legislation. But some of it doesn't make sense. And the 36% tax rate that they have in Pennsylvania doesn't help. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't help if everybody looks at it and rejects it. If people want to get involved with casinos, look at it, and like Mohegan Sun, for example, go, I got to do that. New Jersey's at 17.5%. Doesn't take much to cross the line, does it? Delaware might be up and running. New Jersey will be up and running first. I would think Delaware might be up and running second. West Virginia is going to be close as and Pennsylvania is third and fourth with this. But the 36% tax rate, I mean, it's almost like they're looking at everybody saying, we don't really want to do this. Because that number is way out of bounds. You know what the tax rate is on offshore illegal betting? How about zero? I mean, that's interesting. You know, Nevada's low. What is Nevada? Is Nevada like 6.5%, 7%? Some number like that. It's not very high. New Jersey wants to go to 17.5%. And I think that when you, like 5 years from now, I think 2/3 of the states will have this. All right, so Neil Best of Newsday, next half hour, Dick Girardi in the 4:06 half hour. And the shadow government of the show in the final half hour. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
T- Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. Head into the weekend with this great special between now and Tuesday. Coors and Coors Light, 30 packs, $17.97. They have the best selection of beer anywhere. Imports, domestics, microbrews, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks, ciders. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day and led by the barrels of the Dills. The Pickle Bar is indeed, say it all together now, yes, even you on 147 there, all right? The Pickle Bar is second to none. Well done there on 147. That was very well done. All right. This day in sports history, the Neil Best, Dick Girardi next half hour, the King the final half hour of the show today. Then we'll introduce him as the King and he'll humble pie it like he always does. All right. 1897, William Joyce of the New York baseball Giants set a record when he hit four triples in one game. The first Major League Baseball All-Star Game was announced on this date in 1933. It was to be played July 6th at Comiskey Park as part of the Chicago World's Fair. First home run, by the way, will end up being Babe Ruth. 1942, New York ended night baseball games for the duration of World War II. Mickey Mantle hit a home run from both sides of the plate for the third time in his career in 1956. 56, by the way, Mantle was the MVP. And in 2000, Mark McGwire passed Mickey Mantle on the home run career list on this date in 2000. All right. That is this day in sports history. Sports history made this week when the U.S. Supreme Court ruled parts 7-2, parts 6-3. In favor of allowing the states to do their own thing when it comes to whether or not they want to have sports book. Neil Best has followed this very closely with Newsday. Neil, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show today.
You know, when my daughter first went to Vanderbilt in 2013, I explained to her, you know, you're not going to have James Franco for your whole 4 years. You understand the way this thing works, right? Obviously, I was right. And I had to root against him the first couple of years because he, you know, abandoned my daughter. But I got over it now. It's all good now.
She could adopt him.
Well, it's fine. Her best friend was Penn State, so she got to rub it in a few times. But it's okay. Vandy will muddle along with their, you know, whatever annual 2-6 record in the SEC. So.
I want to talk to you about the sports gambling the Supreme Court approved this week by parts of it 7-2, most of it 6-3 ruling. Look, if we had this conversation, I don't know, 10 years ago, we'd probably be talking about, well, moral, ethical, whatever. You and I both know that's not the conversation now. It's all about money. So how do you think, at least initially, where do the leagues, what kind of leverage do they have to get their cut out of this?
Well, not much. I mean, first of all, the lawmakers in New Jersey have already made it clear they don't want to hear anything about that because they just spent, you know, 6 years and $8 million fighting these people in court, so they don't want to hear it. You know, New York's going to, you know, thinking about putting in one of those quote-unquote integrity taxes. But, yeah, I mean, you know, realistically, I was talking to the CEO of William Hill U.S., the big bookmaker that's working with Monmouth Park to get theirs open in a couple of weeks, and he's like, wait a minute, Mark Cuban just said that this ruling is going to double the value of every pro franchise in American sports. This Tepper guy just paid $2.3 billion for the Panthers. I mean, you know, they're going to get their cut in the form of sponsorships and advertising and increased ratings. And so I don't know that they need a direct cut of the revenue. I mean, I understand why they want to try to get it. That doesn't mean that they should or will. The other thing to keep in mind here is all these states have to be careful to not overtax this stuff because the illegal bookmaking world still exists, and you have to make the legal market attractive enough so that people will do that instead of going, you know, doing the other thing. So, you know, you can't, this is still a competitive world between the legal and the illegal markets, so they got to be a little careful about things like taxes.
In fact, Neil, let's get to that, because I'll follow up on that. New Jersey is, what, 17.5%? All right. Pennsylvania wants to go at 36%. They're acting almost as if they're trying to say we don't want it.
Yeah, no, I was talking to this woman who works for Sport Radar, which is this company that kind of advises foreign and American sports leagues about, you know, avoiding, you know, quote-unquote integrity problems, but also things like what you just described. And yeah, she was telling me these tax rates over 30%, I mean, they're just not going to fly because, again, these states are not going to be operating in a vacuum. I mean, people can still do it the old-fashioned way if they want. You know, and then you get, you know, illegal bookmakers can give you credit. They can not charge you taxes. They can, you know, so they have to make this thing worth everybody's while.
All right, so that brings me to the federal part of it, because the opening question was about where's the leverage for the leagues. It seems like they'd rather lobby the federal level because maybe they feel that's their best shot at it.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, what they say is that for logistical reasons, it's good to deal with one set of rules rather than 50. And, you know, that I do buy that. I mean, it makes sense.
Yes.
But also, yeah, it makes it easier for them in theory to have some kind of system where they get their cut and it's all very organized. So, you know, but they could have said that 5 years ago. I mean, again, New Jersey's attitude is forget that. We've just spent all this time fighting you. We're not just going to give up our right to do this ourselves. And, you know, I think it's going to resemble very much like the situation with marijuana, where each state has its own thing, and in some states it's completely legal, some it's completely legal, and then there's a million rules somewhere in between. So it's not going to be a federal thing like whatever. I mean, I know this is a more important subject, but things like same-sex marriage, which the Supreme Court ruled on and it became the law for the entire country. I mean, in this case, yeah, I don't see it going that way, particularly since Congress can't really get anything done about anything. So
I did mention that the other day. I said they can't pass a spending bill, and now they're going to do this.
and still, when you talk about the ethical part, although for the most part that argument has crumbled very quickly, there are still places where, you know, Utah will probably be the last place that ever legalizes gambling. So, you know, states, there are still some regional differences in this. But one thing I find interesting about this topic is that in this political environment, how, you know, sort of nonpartisan this is. This is not, in New Jersey, you have the most conservative and liberal ends of the political spectrum in the legislature, and, you know, Chris Christie when he was the governor, and everybody is on board. So it's interesting, and even when you look at the states that are moving toward legalizing it, it's all red and blue, and it's a very nonpartisan issue as far as I can tell.
No, it's a green issue.
Yeah, I don't know exactly.
It's not a red state or a blue state. You're a green state because they want the cash.
No, exactly. Green is more important than red or blue in this case, and I guess in a lot of cases. Yeah, it's amazing. Given how long this has been going on as kind of the law of the land, the lack of opposition to this, as long as you have safeguards against, you know, misbehavior, and as long as you take care of that percentage of people who develop a gambling problem, although obviously they could, you know, they have places to gamble as now without it being legal. You know, in the grand scheme of things, this does seem to be an issue that, you know, there's no organized opposition to at this point.
Leagues do have, whether it's the PGA Tour or whether it's the NCAA just put together a 10-year analytics deal, and the PGA Tour has a deep analytics. All leagues do. And if they have the rights to it, obviously the sports books would like to get their hands on it. That helps them set odds and so forth. Mm-hmm. Is that potentially the leverage for leagues, that they control that part, and that's the part that the books would love to have?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that'd be enough, something that they would think is nice to have, but I don't know if it's something they have to have, because, you know, I mean, let's face it, a lot of these odds, it's like when people think that the bookmakers in Vegas are saying who is or is not going to win, when all they're really doing is saying, you know, determining what people think is going to happen because they want even amounts of money on both sides. So, yeah, I mean, any data is helpful, obviously, and maybe it could be more of a thing where the leagues would sell that as opposed to turning it into a, you know, a percentage of the revenue. But, you know, it does make sense for the leagues to say, wait a minute, you're using our intellectual property to make money. But like I said earlier about the Mark Cubans of the world, the reality, I was talking to an executive, it was up Fronts Week in New York, and I was talking to an executive, a sports TV executive, the night this happened, and he was just like, do you realize how much more valuable all these TV channels just be? You know, ESPN or YES Network here in New York, I mean, all the in England, it's, you know, every other advertisement's for a sports book. Or remember what happened 2 years ago with the daily fantasy ads that were driving us all nuts at the beginning of the NFL season. Well, that's going to happen with all these sports books, although, you know, because it's going to be on a state-by-state basis, I guess a lot of it will have to be local ads. But in any case, everybody's going to make money off of this, except, of course, the people that actually make the bets who, you know, half of them are going to win and half are going to lose.
In fact, more than half are going to lose.
More than half are going to lose, exactly.
The house does very, very well for some incredible reason, Neil.
I mean, I do think it's going to be the kind of thing where the hardcore gambler is already doing it, so he or she will, I don't know, might do the legal thing. For someone like me, who it's just kind of a fun thing if you happen to be in Vegas to say, oh, I'm going to bet $10 on the, you know, the Mets game or something. I mean, that's sort of a harmless fun. It's like, I don't bet illegally, but when I have a chance, I bet legally. So if it's in Atlantic City and I'm there, I'll say, oh, yeah, well, what the heck? You know, let's put, you know, $100 on the Browns to win the Super Bowl just for the fun of it, you know.
I was reading. Okay. I'll have to get back to the wisdom of that.
Well, okay, maybe the Jets. No, not the Jets.
No. Okay, we're still not on the right track yet.
Penn State to win the national championship.
All right, now we're getting warmer. Okay, but if in my reading of this, that if you talk to somebody from Ladbrokes, for example. They do very well, and a difference maker for them are the people in England that make those 5-pound to 25-pound bet. That's the difference maker for them. Is that what you think is a realistic possibility in this country?
I do think so, but in order for that to happen, it's going to have to be the kind of thing where either there's a place on every corner like in England, or more likely, you know, on mobile, you know, mobile phone based betting. Once that happens, that will make a difference. In the very early stage of like what New Jersey's talking about, where you have to be physically present, I mean, that's not going to make a huge difference, really. I mean, how many people are going to schlep to Monmouth Park every time they feel like making a bet? But once you can do it on your phone and you're hanging out with your buddies at a bar and say, hey, let's bet on this, you know, the second half of this, you know, Warriors game or something, I think that will change the business and just bring in a lot more money from, people who... Yeah, I mean, everybody knows you can do it if you really... I mean, again, it's somewhat similar to the marijuana thing where most people are not inclined to illegally seek out drugs, but if you're in Colorado, as I was for a wedding a couple of years ago, and it's sort of the novelty that, oh, this is legal here. You know, you might partake even though it's a one-time... You know, you're not going to be a regular.
All right, let's just have just a little fun with this for a moment. A year from now, best guess on your part, what does the landscape look like a year from now?
Well, I mean, with some of these states, it's going to take the logistics of this and the politics of it are going to take a while. I mean, clearly, New Jersey is going to have gambling by the within the next couple months, but other states, I'm not completely up to date on what's going on in Pennsylvania, but I mean, let's just take New York, which I know better. I mean, I think within 2 years or so, they'll certainly be betting in casinos and at wherever other designated spots they have. 5 years from now, I think, we're going to be, I don't think we'll be quite where England is, but 5 years from now, it'll just kind of be a normal part of being a sports fan and nobody will think twice about it.
My guess is in 5 years, just my guess, 2/3 of the states will have this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But again, you know, it's going to be a kind of a 2 steps forward, 1 step back thing. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff to work out because every state's got its own political nuances but New Jersey is just chomping at the bit here because they're so mad at everybody for making them spend all this time and money on it that they just want to kind of revel in it and get this thing going. I think Delaware's trying to beat New Jersey, but I don't know. I mean, Monmouth Park, I think, will be ready in a couple of weeks, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds like by Memorial Day, Monmouth Park will be taking wagers, and, you know, they'll be able to take wagers, for example, in the NBA Finals.
Originally they were shooting for Memorial Day. Now it might be a couple of weeks after that just because they have to go through the process. But, yeah, I wrote the other day, again, things like desegregation of schools and same-sex marriage is obviously more important topics. However, the Supreme Court over history has tended to reflect whatever the cultural vibe is of the country. And obviously they did it for legal reasons, but to me, the reality is they were also sort of bowing to just cultural reality where the United States is just kind of ready for this now. And they just kind of acknowledge that in a way and say, okay, just do whatever you want.
Exactly. And what this is, just so everyone understands about the Supreme Court, yeah, you're right. There are so many other really important issues that they've ruled on in the past. Well, it turns out that this case was before them, so I had to rule. So they did.
Right. And, yeah, and again, it's very interesting to me. This thing happened less than a week ago. And, again, you just don't – not that everybody thinks it's a great idea. However, in terms of, a widespread, backlash or anger or concern, I mean, really, there just isn't very much of it.
No.
Everybody's just kind of like, okay, whatever, let's go on. Even the NCAA is like, oh, all right, well, now we'll have – well, you can have events in states with gambling, whatever, it's fine. And all the pro leagues are like – I was there at when Adam Silver first mentioned this in September of 14. It was before he wrote this op-ed piece in the Times, New York Times, everyone talks about it. In September of 14, he's with the Bloomberg Sports Summit, and I just happened to be there, and he just blurts out in a Q&A, well, sports gambling's inevitable, and, you know, we can benefit from it because it keeps people engaged, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And people over there are kind of looking at each other like, I can't believe this. The commissioner of the NBA just came out in favor of sports gambling, basically. And, of course, he was right, and here we are 4 years later, and I guess it was inevitable.
Yeah, it sure was. Hey, I really enjoyed this, Neil. Appreciate it very much. You tell your daughter Penn State football's in good hands, all right?
Okay, well, Vandy will try to muddle along, too, I suppose.
I suppose you're right, Neil.
all right, thanks for having me.
Neil Best, Newsday, and also contributes the Sports Business Journal. Dick Girardi next half hour at a soaked Pimlico on the Preakness as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. Tony Carr not doing much today at the NBA Combine, an ankle injury, keeping him out of the first scrimmage today. He did okay yesterday. Some drills he did really, really well in. Measuring in length with a 6'8 wingspan, that's a big plus. 17 points led all scorers, that's a plus. 22 shots to get them, not a plus. So, there you go. Mentioned this was the suits day to make show suggestions. He suggested Carburation Day, what it means to me. So far, no calls.
I guess I didn't hear him clearly down the hall. I thought he was saying carb up. I thought, well, you're planning to run a race? Okay. Other type race.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, he mentioned something about the chudder. He said there'll be a lot of passing in Indy. I tried to point out to him that it was qualifying and there's only one car on the track at a time. That confused him. And then the last one was the royal wedding. I mean, where are we going here? The royal wedding.
Big day in the UK tomorrow. May have to wait another 20 years for another royal wedding. In a couple of hours after They tie the knot tomorrow. You got Chelsea and Manchester United in the FA final.
I know.
FA Cup, yeah.
Big.
As we'll call it a holiday in Britain tomorrow. Work productivity will be.
Didn't she grow up? Didn't she grow up in Pennsylvania?
I don't know if she grew up in Pennsylvania. I'd have to look that up. I haven't heard that. I know she was on a very popular show on USA Network called Suits. She was on that show. our former broadcast colleague Drew Kelly, big fan of suits.
Well,
was married at one time.
I guess the entire cast of Suits is there, by the way.
Wow.
Which makes I guess technically that is her family. So
Prince Charles is going to walk her down the aisle. That was pretty big when that story broke this morning.
By the way, he is very popular there. Just remember something about Prince Harry. All right? He was on the front lines in Afghanistan. And they wanted to bring him back, and he refused. You wonder why he's so popular there?
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.